Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yo, what's up, Alternative Facts Podcast? We're back. I know we took last week off, but we are back with another interview that I'm really, really excited about with an artist who's behind one of my favorite albums of the year so far. You know, I'm obviously a fan and into all the artists I bring on the show, duh, but this particular album, especially into, I've been to this artist's project a long time. It's Zola Jesus. That is the musical endeavor of Nika Danilova. And Nika came by the Billboard office to talk about her new album, Akovi, that dropped last month on Sacred Bones Record. Here's a little bit of Akovi. This is a track called Exhumed. Yeah, so there's some great strings on this album, really good moods on this album, if you're into moods, and just incredible vocals. Like, Nika is an amazing vocalist. She was trained in opera when she was much, much younger. And we went back, way back in this conversation, before her first album she did as Zola Jesus. She has 5 albums, and she's been releasing music as Zola Jesus for about a decade now. So we went way before that, back to her childhood, growing up in Wisconsin, growing up in a very rural area, and how she really just literally had to return to that area in order to bring us this new album. That is to say, we talk about Hang Out in the Woods a lot in this interview. I'm here for it. As you listen to this little companion piece, as you listen, highly suggest you bring up the Zola Jesus Instagram wherever you are. Bring it up on your phone, bring it up on your laptop, your tablet, whatever. Find a way, like, if you have one of those digital projectors, just project her Instagram feed up into your living room and just go through these pictures as you listen. I think it'll be a very good companion piece as we talk about the woods, very woodland related topics in this podcast. Set the mood. She's got a really great aesthetic that goes well beyond her music, and I hope this conversation took her to some interesting places. It definitely did for me, and hope for you too. You know, I think even if you don't really know her music before now, I think there's a lot just general about creating art, self-discovery in this conversation that you'll find interesting. And also, if you're new to her music, I'll drop in one more of her songs. This will be a little bit of an older one. This is a track that came out in 2011 called Seeker, and right after this, we'll jump into the cast. We're talking about a festival that she just played in Hudson, New York, called Basilica. And here's Seeker, and then our chat with Zola Jesus. Take me through this past month. What else sticks out in your mind as, like, the highlights of bringing this new album to life?
The listening party that I did in New York was really cool. I had this idea of not just doing a listening party, but having it be like this sort of three-dimensional experience where you can walk inside of the record. And so I brought a lot of different people together. For instance, Jenny Hensler, longtime friend and collaborator, and Seth Kirby, who did lighting and visuals, and Corey Johnson, who did visuals as well. And Sonos provided the sound. And so it was just like a really cool way to celebrate the record. And yeah, it was unforgettable.
Yeah. So let's jump into and talk about some of the record, and we can look outside, reflect. But let's talk about the album, because it's so good. Yeah. We'll start at the beginning with Doma, the first track, kind of this haunting, chanted song. Like, reading up about it, it sounds like it has to do with reconnecting with Wisconsin, where you grew up. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that song in Wisconsin after I'd moved back, and it's just kind of like a tribute to that feeling of being back where I grew up in kind of a bittersweet way, more sweet than bitter, but I never thought that I would move back home, and so to be sitting there in the house where I grew up waiting for my new house to be built, writing that song, it just kind of felt like not only returning to roots, but returning home and feeling very, like, full circle.
Yeah, set the scene. Describe the surrounding, because it was quite rural, right?
Yeah. So I now live exactly where I grew up, just a couple paces down the road into the land. It's 200 acres of just raw forest. There's birch trees, oak, mostly maple trees and birch trees, and hemlock and pines. There's deer, turkey, bears, wolves, coyotes, owls, you know, all the wildlife you could imagine. And it's just really beautiful and quiet. Yeah. Protected.
Tell me, what was it that made you want to reconnect with this and go back to where you came from?
At first, it was kind of practical reasons. I was looking to buy a house to have some sort of stability. And I was living in Seattle, and Seattle just was becoming more and more improbable just because of the real estate market was just out of control. And so I couldn't afford anything. So then as I was looking further out of Seattle, I was like, why don't I just move back home? I have free land. I can build the house that I want for way cheaper than anything else. And also, I just missed my family. I'm extremely close with them. And I have kind of like an old school perspective on family, where I feel like, you know, as you get older, you have a responsibility to take care of your parents, and not that they're that old, but, you know, one day. So I just want to be around them, and, you know, I want to be where I feel like truly at peace, and that's precisely where I was from.
Sure. And what's the name of the town?
It's called Merrill. I'm in between two towns. Okay. So it's in between Merrill and Wausau. Merrill's kind of the closer town, and Wausau's further away.
Cool. Yeah, I really like your Instagram and, like, the photography, the whole aesthetic of it, and especially the ones where you're out in the woods. I'm just picturing lots of, like, big skies. There's one I really liked. I can remember where there was, like, a little dog overlooking a big lake.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a lot of them were like that, but tell me, are those a lot of shots from around Wisconsin? Do you go out and explore there a lot?
Yeah, definitely, and especially just because we have so much land. You know, when I'm home, it's just running around the land and, you know, doing kind of like chores like cutting wood and preparing for winter and stuff like that. And just exploring. It's my favorite pastime, so I do it a lot.
Exploring nature.
Yeah.
cool. Is there anything, is there sometimes a more practical pursuit in it, like photography, for instance, or is it really just like going out and seeing what happens?
Yeah, it's more just kind of trying to lose myself, and just the further, the deeper into nature, the deeper into woods or wherever I am, I get, the more connected I feel to the world. So like, for instance, here where we are in New York City, I feel very disconnected, and it has its own advantages and its own sort of beauty. But at the same time, when I'm in nature, that's when I feel like whole. And so I try to lose myself out there as much as possible.
Do you think that comes from childhood, maybe like specific memories of just being so happy as a little kid in nature?
It's probably, yeah, just feeling like that was just a part of life, and that was normal for me, is just to be running around and, you know, not seeing a single person for miles and miles.
Yeah, when you go out, is it like a social thing, or will you just go out by yourself?
In the woods?
Yeah.
It's for myself, yeah. Yeah, when I'm at home, there's no socializing. Maybe amongst my family, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
You don't get, like, worried of getting lost in the woods?
Well, I know my way around my woods, so there's landmarks and things, so, yeah.
It must be really cool, though, like, to get to a part of the woods, though, that you feel, like, is really secluded, and you're like, wow, I've never seen this part before.
Yeah, there's still, like, quadrants that I haven't gone to just because they're so far back, and it sometimes, you know, the leaves grow so, or the brush grows so deep that it's hard to get through. So, yeah, there's, like, I'm like, oh, today maybe I'm going to try to go further out and see if I can get there, but it's cool.
Yeah. So is the creation of the album and maybe thinking of lyrics, composing any music, is that connected to these travels in the woods?
Definitely. I mean, I think it's not like I'm out in the woods and I'm thinking of lyrics or anything, but with Okovi, it was so much about trying to, what's the word? Just trying to recreate that feeling that I get when I'm home, or when I'm in nature, or when I'm feeling most at peace, because I was trying to find some sort of core, something, an anchor with my music, because so much chaos was happening around me that my music became an anchor just as much as being out in nature was an anchor. And so I was just trying to bridge that gap between the two.
And where was the studio where you finally recorded the music?
Well, I was, because I produce and write at the same time, a lot of it was produced just in, you know, it was in my parents' basement while I was living there temporarily. And then I also would go to these cabins just to get away, because I was, again, living with my parents while my house was being built. So I'd go to these cabins and be totally isolated, and I'd write there. But then finally, when I enlisted the help of Alex DeGroat, my co-producer and mixer for the album and engineer, we got we rented a house on the lake in northern Minnesota, and that's when we finished the album together.
Sure. Yeah, it's in, like, going through this album and, like, your past albums, it seems like you're inspired on, like, two sides of... There's, like, pop music inspiration in the music, and also more outsider experimental influence. Is it challenging to kind of balance those two and bring them in harmony?
Sometimes, for this record, I tried not to think about it and tried to let the two disparate sides, like, find each other organically. But sometimes I've tried to, maybe I've leaned further in one direction or the other. But yeah, that can sometimes be a challenge, but at the same time, it's like what I get excited by when writing.
Sure. Because with Tyga, I remember you, like, speaking, doing press for talking more about, like, aspirations for, like, oh, it would be really cool to have, like, a hit song on the charts, mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that would be funny, you know, because...
like, surprise party, hey, and my song's, like, kind of crashing this party. Yeah.
Well, because it's like I'm sitting here in the Billboard office or whatever, and I feel very grateful, like, I never belonged in that world, and there's kind of like a seduction to trying to figure it out, like, figure out why I don't belong, and figure out who belongs here and why they belong there, and So sometimes it's just kind of like it's like a game or something I like to try to understand, or a puzzle, because I never felt like I belonged anywhere, especially anywhere where you're, you know, somehow validated in some way. So I just liked trying to understand that world.
Are there maybe some outsider artists who have kind of wound up surprisingly on the charts who fascinate you specifically?
Because
there's plenty of, like, outsider kind of experimental artists who just sort of fell into a career and had some hit songs or sold a lot of records.
Totally. I mean, when you think about someone like Scott Walker, who originally was, really in, like, a boy band in, like, the 50s or whatever. And then he just went totally off and did his thing. And I guess that's the reverse situation. But, I do think there are figures who have gotten some sort of mainstream acclaim for being totally uncompromising, which is, that's cool, because that means that what they're doing is universal enough, but also it's probably challenging a lot of people on, like, a wide scale.
I think, like, Lorde is a good example of that, someone who's had recent hit songs.
Yeah, definitely, because it seems like you never get the idea that she's compromising what she wants to do,
Yeah, and I'm thinking of that because, to go even more outsider, she just announced a tour, and I was thinking back to her last album. She announced a tour where she took Magical Clouds out with her.
Oh, that's cool.
And just, like, exposed them to probably so many people who would never have come across Magical Clouds music.
Yeah, that's rad. Yeah, she seems like, she seems like she's doing something really positive, not only with her music and with the messages that she sends to her fans, but just for, for community.
Totally. Yeah, and, like, I think, like, a lot of the artists who, like, you've mentioned over the years as inspirations, like Joy Division or, like, and how all the chart success they had with New Order, especially, like, kind of from that era of, like, early 80s, late 70s, I think there were sort of a lot of outsider artists sort of on the goth end or the post-punk end who kind of fell into success and are, like, in these books around us.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's getting harder and harder because just the way that the industry has changed, people that have that sort of persuasion over, bigger splashes whatever, I don't know. To me, it feels like maybe things are, like, a little less laissez-faire as they were back then, but...
Things are thirstier.
Yeah, yeah. People are a little bit more, like... They need security. Like, people, the dudes in the suits maybe need a little more security. But, I don't blame them. I get it.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, very deliberate, viral, planned moments to roll out albums, announce surprise singles, things like that.
Yeah, they're just trying to... It's like that game, but in a way where they're just trying to figure out how to navigate success. Or not navigate it, but to predict success. And you can't really do that. You just got to kind of let things... You got to believe that if the music is good, it will speak for itself.
Hmm. I'm also thinking of Anthony Gonzalez of M83, who you've worked with, and I guess we're past label mates with at Mute Records, because he's someone who doesn't really come from a very traditional, I would say, pop music space, but, lots of people know Midnight City, but he also made, like, Dead Sea... What's that?
Lost Red Cities Seas. I always forget the but that's a beautiful record. And that's the thing. He was like an ambient, like, post rock, like whatever.
Yeah, people call him shoegaze.
Yeah, shoegaze. Like, whatever it was, it was not, it wasn't pop music.
Dead Cities and Lost Ghosts.
Maybe.
I think that's it. That's one of my all-time favorite album covers.
Yeah, and that album, too, is just, like, so sweet.
Yeah. The photography of, like... Because it kind of reminds me of, like, what I was saying with your Instagram. Like, the photography of this just, like... You can tell it's up north somewhere, and there's just, like, these deep woods. but then in the foreground there's just these kids in snow all laying on their backs.
So good.
But that one, your Instagram, that's a color picture. Your Instagram is all black and white.
For the most part, yeah, you know. I have some color photos, though.
Okay. Have you ever, like, released photography on your own? Done anything like that?
No, I mean, I wanted to be a photographer when I was younger, when I'd given up the idea of being a musician. My mother was a photographer, professional photographer, and so I did have a lot of experience with it, but I don't think my stuff is that. Is worth, I don't know. It's like, I like having low pressure, that it's just like this thing, wherever I am, I can see a picture and then post it, but I don't like to take it too seriously, otherwise people start judging it. So, you know what I mean? Once you like put out a book, they're like, come on, these Instagram photos. These are taken with an iPhone.
I mean, maybe something to just sort of nonchalantly with the next album or next music project roll on the side, like, oh, yeah, showing some photographs here. Come by.
Totally. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I will. I'll credit you.
There
Special
we go.
Thanks.
Just trying to spread inspiration here.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, so what's it like to be back with Sacred Bones Records?
Great. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a label, but it's not a label because it's my closest friends. And so it just feels like coming home, being with family, you know. It's very supportive.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds very similar to just what we were talking about in a very practical sense of going back to Wisconsin to be with literal mm-hmm. family.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that was a thing, like, these past couple of years were so taxing emotionally, and I learned a lot about myself. And, I'm making it a priority to just really focus on, you know, who I surround myself with. Not saying Mute wasn't a bad label. They were amazing and awesome people. But Sacred Bones is my family. And so I needed to, you know, honor that and honor them. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. That you're working with people that you love and, you know, that support you.
Like, would you say, like, the stresses that you've touched on from the past couple years, maybe from the album or expectations or like different standards you set for yourself?
In terms of everything I've been going through the past couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it started with feeling very lost and sinking into a deep depression because I felt like I didn't have a sense of, how do I even articulate this? I can't even really understand it, but just feeling very lost and like my meaning wasn't clear. And so throughout the past couple of years, I've just tried to establish within myself like a sense of belonging. I don't know. I can't explain it because it's just like it's that kind of, maybe it's a mid-20s thing or late-20s thing when you're starting totally. To realize that the world isn't...
Yeah, I'm 28 myself.
So. Yeah, exactly.
You're also 28, right?
Yeah, I'm 28.
So, yeah.
Saturn Returns kind of thing where, you know, the way that I was living emotionally wasn't sustainable, and it was unhealthy, and I was self-destructive, and I was destroying myself physically and emotionally. So I needed to change the way that I thought, and I needed to change my my approach to life and my approach to what I do in order for this to be able to maintain myself, you know, because otherwise I would have burned out really quickly. And that's not just even with music, but just with my life, my own life. So.
Yeah, like heading towards your 30s, you sort of, there's a sense of like some comfort, but also like I'm not a kid anymore, and like the world isn't just so wondrous and open-ended like it might have been when you were in your early 20s. Like more reality sets in, just more settling down and accepting things. And I guess like you had been doing Zola Jesus since like before you were even 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably just like the project followed you throughout this developmental period of your life, and now it's just like the next chapter.
Yeah, and I like it. I like this age. I like, you know, I feel zen. Like I'm still extremely angry. I have a lot of anger. I'm working through that, but I think I'll always have it. But I feel zen, like I can handle it now. Whereas in the past, I couldn't handle the uncertainty of life. And that's the cool thing. I like getting older for that reason.
Yeah. Like, are there maybe some people around you who are maybe a few years older who you've seen settle in and become like well-adjusted 30-somethings who you can model this off of?
Not really.
No.
Everyone, because that's the thing too. Everyone that that does this, that is a musician or an artist, they're all kind of, you know, we're all living on the fringes in one way or another. And so, I think our demons are a lot more, a lot stronger. And so it takes a longer time to battle them. You know, but we're all figuring it out together.
Yeah, like living on the fringes in the sense that you're not working 9 to 5 or don't have like a traditional thing that most people would just be like, oh, that's a job.
Yeah.
What did you go to school for?
French and philosophy.
Interesting. What drew you to that?
It was what I had the most credits in.
Okay.
Yeah. I just needed to graduate because I started doing Zola Jesus during university, and then I started going on tour while I was still studying, and so I was just like, I just needed to get done with it.
Yeah. How did that start? Like, what was it that got the touring star, got Sacred Bones to take notice?
I was making recordings, just like, you know, my bedroom, and putting them on MySpace.com.
Hell yeah.
Hey,
wow.
Yeah, I know. It's vintage. Vintage rags to riches story. And then Sacred Bones found me through mutual friends and stuff, and they put out like a 7-inch, and from there it just kind of kept going. That's it. Here we go.
Yeah. Because that would have been around the time, like, they were getting started, too, right?
Yeah, I was one of their first releases.
Yeah, and you did that whole 10-year anniversary concert with them recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, describe that. Like, who were some of the other artists there? What was that experience like?
Oh, man. Really emotional. Because I was one of the first artists, and we've been through so much. I've been through so much with them that even just walking into that space, and they had, like, there was like a giant like Sacred Bones logo sign, and just like the production involved, it just felt so real. And you know, being able to reminisce and to honor the past 10 years with Sacred Bones, it was just like a massive family reunion. It was very, very special.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the guy who co-runs it, the guy with the big beard. What's his
Caleb,
name?
Caleb, yeah. He's the founder and owner, yeah.
Yeah, I think he used to tend bar at a bar near the old Billboard office where I always used to go.
Which one, Niagara or Black and White?
Black and White.
Yeah, he still's there every Wednesday.
Oh, awesome. All right.
It's funny because he always says, I'm going to start talking about Caleb. Sorry, Caleb. he started a label to get his mind off of being a bartender. And now he bartends to get his mind off of running a label. So he still does it just as like a, I don't know, fun thing.
Word. That's, I think the last thing I really wanted to touch on is like, what's coming up for you? Because I get the sense that you really think about your career, or maybe you don't want to use the word career, but your art. You take a step back and you really consider it and what it means, and you put a lot of thought into it and what's coming up. What's forward for you? Like, what do you want to be doing? Do you think about what Zola Jesus could be like a decade from now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to be in the position I'm in where I've released quite a few records by now, that it's like giving myself permission to really truly abstract what Zola Jesus can be and what my music can be. And so I'm looking forward to really pushing the boundaries of, you know, of my next, whatever I do next. Because it's like, you know, I've put out how many albums with, you know, 10, 12 songs on them. But I'm excited to see what happens next in terms of, like, what if I do a long-form thing? What if I write an opera, you know? And I feel like I have the freedom to do that now that I've, you know, established, you know, kind of like a good foundation for what this is.
Yeah, moving into different mediums.
Yeah, definitely.
The photography show.
There we go.
You gotta do it.
I know. I should get a real camera, though. You should know.
Yeah, thanks so much to Nika for coming by. Yeah, check out her Instagram and check out Akovi. It's out now on Sacred Bones Records, one of my favorite record labels, which we touched on a little bit in the show. But if you're looking for more things to listen to, if you're into Akovi, check out other Sacred Bones releases. Not exactly the same sound, but I think there's like a similar aesthetic, I would say, that runs through their releases. And go back and listen to Zola Jesus' old stuff. I know there's a bunch of older albums, but my suggestion would be the Conatus album that we chatted a little bit on in the interview, and that's the album that I played the track from at the top of the show. That one came out back in 2011, I believe. Don't quote me on that. 2012, 2011. Conatus, that's my favorite old Zola Jesus album. And yeah, hope this interview got you into the October spirit as you work through the spookiest month of our calendar. We've actually got another podcast episode coming up on a similar October note. Can't say who it is just yet, but if you've been following me on Twitter, maybe you can figure it out. But yeah, See Pain on a Plane is the handle. I'm always just riffing on what's coming up on the show, talking about the podcast, giving little hints to what's coming up. See Pain on a Plane is the handle, or just search Chris Payne. I'm usually the first person that comes up. And yeah, subscribe to the show, get it automatically every week, see what I've been talking about. Search for hashtag alternative facts on iTunes or just in the podcast app of your phone. And while you're there, give us a star rating. I know that if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you hear people asking for star ratings constantly, but that's because they help a lot with just getting feedback and hearing what you think. And also just like, it helps with getting placement on iTunes and getting more attention to the podcast. So star ratings, super helpful. And yeah, as always, just thank you for listening. This podcast is a lot of fun. It's probably my favorite thing that I do here at Billboard. I mean, I love a lot of stuff at my job, but this podcast is really fun. So thank you for listening. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.